Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Beating a Dead Horse. The Bears suck. Matt Nagy doesn't know how to coach. He should be left somewhere in Cleveland, never returned to Chicago. Ryan Pace is a terrible GM. I'm Flo's. This is Scott. The Bears lost 26-6 to the Cleveland Browns in a uninspired, undisciplined, untalented, immoral. I don't know what other adjective I could put on it. It was a bad game. Yet, midway through the third quarter, they still could have got back in the game. That's the funny part about it. Actually, I take that back. To the fourth quarter, they could have got back in the game. It was 13-6 entering to the fourth quarter. Could have got back into the game. Yet they didn't. And they netted about 57 combined yards from rushing and passing. David Montgomery had about 10 carries for 34 yards. Justin Fields was 6 for 20 for like 67. Just abysmal, abysmal, abysmal. There's nothing good to take away from this, offensively at least. Of course, as you all know, since you follow us and you're watching us, I just got literally back in from Cleveland. I'm back at home. Cleveland is, I understand what Joe Kim Noah was saying now. Who likes Cleveland? You know, you like Cleveland?
Think Cleveland's cool?
You think Cleveland's cool? I will say, shout out to Citizen Pie and Pizza 216. Those were good pizza places. I always got to give myself a nice slice of za when I get to a place. But that is about the only thing that gave me a great feeling in Cleveland. Outside of that, I left with a bad taste in my mouth. Even as I'm trying to cover the game objectively as I can, because if you're one of, especially some of the non-veteran or younger reporters there like myself, you're still fans. You still have fandom. Even when you leave, you know, we talked to J.J. Stankovic when he was covering. You still love the Bears, but you got to be a little more objective. It's just like, damn. And there was a point, you know, I was tweeted about Ryan Pace, but I scaled back. I didn't want to, you know, get the account axed. I have Ryan Pace look at me and stay. I wanted to reserve that for here and give a little Pace watch. But my seat was literally 6 feet away from Ryan Pace. He's literally at a row ahead of me. And it's interesting to see him laughing, joking, talking with Adam Johns, talking with Jason Leisure, talking with Bears PR, and, you know, and joking around before the game. Then the game starts. And when the Bears got a few forced down stops, he was still happy. Then they went to that shit-eating face where you don't look happy. I don't know what he was typing on his computer, but the font and the color was red and looked angry.
You said the font on his computer was red.
The color was red.
It was?
It was in red. Okay. So I think those were like part of the notes, I guess, when he's highlighting the words. Once again, I'm just assuming it didn't look at the contents of the screen. Didn't, you know, I wasn't no fed in there. I wasn't going to take no pictures and be a lame. He's doing his job. I'm doing my job. But I'm talking to one of the reporters, Ari, as he walks back in. It's around the fourth quarter and the game's over. And the Bears get a first down, like a Justin Fields throw. I said, hey, man, you just missed the Bears' first down in a while. He said, oh, I did? I didn't know that. I made sure that Ryan Pace heard me. And the funny thing is, I didn't say it to make fun of Ryan Pace. I kind of forgot he was there. But once I said it, I'm like, I know he heard me. You should feel embarrassed of the product you put out on the field. You know what I mean? You should not feel happy that in, you shouldn't feel happy with 57 yards of offense in 1940. In 1940, 57 yards of offense is going to
be. There's no decade in history of football, 57 yards of offense
is acceptable. Never is acceptable. Because you know why? You know what they did in those decades? They
ran the fucking ball.
They would have had about 45, 50 carries, and they'd have had well over 57 yards. You gave Demo 10 carries, then you stopped. You set up Justin Fields in a situation where, okay, Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, these insanely fast linebackers are getting to him immediately. So what should you do? There's always a way to counter great defenses. There's always a way to counter it. There is no defensive scheme set. Remember when people thought the 46 was the greatest defense ever when the Bears were running?
Until they met Dan Marino.
Yeah. What did Dan Marino do? Got the ball out of his hands. He got the ball out of his hands and the rush did not matter. Unless you can get to the quarterback in 0.1 seconds, which is humanly impossible, you're never going, there is no such team that's going to stop it. So when you have an aggressive defense, they were sending the house several times. You gave up what should have been 10 sacks, 9 sacks in one game, 4.5 sacks for Myles Garrett. You should be ashamed of the product. But I say that to say, there's always a way to beat a terrible defense. I mean, a great defense. When the defense is that aggressive, ball's out the hands. You do not leave in extra blockers. You let them come. You get the ball to your playmakers. You get it to Demo. You get it to Cole Kmet, to Darnell Mooney, and you let them work. Then they'll ease up. And when they ease up, you sit in the pocket. You make a strike. You kept sitting Justin in the pocket every single play. And at some point in time, I thought to myself, you know what? It's interesting how Matt Nagy had handled the development of a quarterback that's black versus a white tight end last year. And let me, this is something that I analyzed myself. Cole Kmet coming
in. Put your koofy on.
Cole Kmet was coming into the league last year behind Jimmy Graham, who was still proven, had some okay years with the Packers. You know what he did with the Seahawks and with the Saints. But Cole Kmet still had a lot to learn. But what did Cole Kmet get from the jump? Opportunity, 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 opportunity. What does he have now? 99.9% of all the snaps. Why? Because it's his time to shine. What do you do with Justin Fields in those first two games? Minimum play in the second one, he's forced to play. Minimum play in the first one, he's forced to play in the second one. You get him in the third one, you put him in the line of fire. And not only do you put him in the line of the fire, you walk over to the enemy. You give him extra guns, extra ammunition, and tell him, hey, he's going to be here at this area, here at that area, aim to kill. That's what you did to Justin Fields. And I can't help but feel a little shaded that you put this black man in the position to not succeed. And I just don't like that. Now, it's either two things. Either you're a racist or you're a stone cold idiot. Those are two things that are coming to my mind. Now, I'm assuming you play with majority black players, and you're not going to hold back a black man just so you can be racist. I don't believe that. So what does it leave me with the second one? You're an idiotic play caller. You don't know what you're doing. And Matt Nagy, you can't come away from this situation believing he needs a job in the NFL. You need to go work at Liberty University. You need to go work somewhere else. You need to go work at Everest Community College. I don't know if they have a football team, but you need to get far away from the Bears. I want you to be, you know what Phil Emery's doing right now? He's a general manager. You know what he was now? He's a scout. Go be his assistant. This is the worst offensive performance from a Bears team that I've seen in my life. I'm sure somebody can find something statistically that was worse. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard. I left that game with just disgust in my mouth. The only hopeful thing I had was Sean Desai is a good defensive coordinator. But how many times have the Bears built a good defense? How many times does that happen? It happens all the time.
That's our identity: defense and running backs. Great defense and great running backs. We never had a bad running back.
I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed by you having. Oh, this guy knows the defense. I'm not impressed. Congratulations, you did what you've been doing your whole career. But I thought you're drafting somebody like Justin Fields, who was a consensus one or two during high school and college. Maybe you'll enter the 21st century with offense. You don't. You don't. And you leave yourself with an offense that resembles nothing from any era. You couldn't even run the ball properly. When a team is that aggressive, explosive runs should come like that, because they're aggressive on the outside. They're overloading the C gap. They're overloading the tackle. You run up the gut. You run up the gut. It's easy. It's easy to counter. So why can't Matt Nagy do that? You know why? He's a shit coach. He should not be anywhere near Hallis Hall. He should already be anywhere near Hallis Hall. And if he makes it past week 10, makes it past week 6 with this same offense, with this same lackluster performance, I'll know that George McCaskey and Ted Phillips don't care about the result of the basketball. The football. They just care that money is being made. But maybe Ryan Pace goes ahead of that. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to wait for them to pressure me. I'm going to make sure that I put a good product out there.
He got a fucking go too. He got a fucking go too. What did Captain America say?
First off, shut up, nigga. I'm still talking.
Hold on. But I just want to say this one part before you're on your run.
No.
I just want to say this one part. They all shield Hydra. They all gotta go. Both of them niggas gotta go.
That's funny. I'm telling you right now, Ryan Pace is going nowhere. And I just want you all to know that it's just not gonna happen.
And why do you say that?
Nobody within the Bears upper management has a problem with what Ryan Pace is doing.
Why? That is the question. Why?
I don't know.
He has more blood on his hands than Matt Nagy.
But I can tell you that Matt Nagy is on a short leash, and that's the feeling is creeping up upon them. I can tell you that for certain. But Ryan Pace is not going anywhere, at least not in the middle of the season. It's unlikely you – like, the only person – who was the GM that fired in the middle of the season? Bill O'Brien? Since he was the coach in the
GM? I don't even think he got – well, he was a coach. That's why he got fired with both. And he's a GM. I don't think you've ever just seen a separate GM be fired in the middle of the season.
But you've seen coaches. So
– yes.
But, yeah, that was an abysmal performance. Just got awful. Just got awful.
So, can I go now?
Yes, you can.
Okay. That game, it is, first of all, this is episode 181. You know, I just got to give the episode number. This is episode 181 of 79th and Atlas. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Shout out to everybody who was in our post-game spaces. We had 130 people in there today, hosted by me, Pierce, and Dante. It was great to have y'all on talk some shit. And Joe, when you bring up the race thing, it's actually kind of funny. Shout out to homie Sean Keys. He was in the spaces there, and he said somebody has to accuse Matt Nagy calling him a nigga to get him the fuck up out of there in the spaces today. So that was just funny when you brought that up. But it is approximately 10:04 p.m. on the West Coast in Los Angeles right now as we're recording this. So that means it's Monday where you're at. And I'm still fucking angry. I've been angry at this game for 9 fucking hours. It's just, and it has nothing to do with us losing. I don't give a fuck that we lost the game. I predicted us to lose the fucking game. I don't care. Wins and losses is not a thing for me for this fucking season.
No.
It's just, I'm just so fucking angry because I now have a legitimate fear that this franchise is going to ruin Justin Fields. I'm not worried about Justin because Justin is a winner. Justin has, you know, you could tell from his press conference that you were there. I watched it on the Bears YouTube. It was only 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The dude looked fucking pissed. Like, and you could tell, like, I want to know how long is it going to take before the players start rebelling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know we've been up here for weeks, and you always said there's no anarchy in the front in locker room. Locker room loves Nagy. But if Justin doesn't have the years with Nagy that everybody else does, when is Justin going to go up like, yo, this dude don't know what the fuck he's doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, we see Jimmy Graham retweeting tweets with the stats of the worst offensive performance since 1981. You see the video, the camera crew, catching Nick Foles talking to Andy Dalton, saying this offense just isn't working, with disgust on his face. And it looks like Andy Dalton's agreeing with him because he's talking under the towel. And you didn't see the commentary today, but Greg Olsen tried so many times to not call Matt Nagy a fucking idiot, like multiple times. And what's so fucking frustrating is you. I feel like this is sabotage, and can't nobody tell me any fucking differently. I'm going full blown conspiracy theory. I think this was a fucking sabotage. He called that fucking game like fucking Andy Dalton was out there. It makes no fucking sense. Like, yes, the offensive line gave up 9 sacks. I get all that. It was a terrible performance by the offensive line. Ifedi and fucking Jason Peters were fucking terrible. It was like, it's like they were doing what I would do if I was in front of Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, like just standing there as they flung me out the fucking picture. So it's yes, they were bad, but I don't think this offensive line is as bad as what they showed today. I really fucking don't. 9 sacks. When the last time you seen some shit like that? When Jay Keller got sacked like 10 times against the Giants in 2013, when he almost fucking died on the field, which Olin Krutz brought up today in postgame. This is on Matt Nagy and the fucking game plan. Move the goddamn pocket around. And it's not just Bears fans screaming this shit. It's to the point where you see national media. You see former Bears players. We had somebody in our spaces today who just happened to be the godson of Richard Dent. The godson of Richard Dent was in our spaces today, and he calls him his Uncle Richard. He said he doesn't even watch the fucking games anymore because he can't stand Matt Nagy.
The what of Richard Dent?
Richard Dent's godson was in our fucking spaces today.
That's hilarious.
And he said he doesn't even watch the games anymore. If you listen to Dan Hampton every fucking Sunday, oh my, Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich had to literally stop themselves today from calling him anything else besides an idiot. Like, Dan Hampton was going fucking nuts. And these are former Bears players. These are former fucking Bears legends. all the recruits went on TV today. Shout out to Cap. David Kaplan bodied Matt Nagy. Said that there's no way he should wake up tomorrow with a job. Olin Krutz said, hey, but he's always Nagy goes to the podium and says, we don't know what the problem is. He said, you know what this is? You know what you should do? You need to go get a mirror, put that mirror up in your bedroom and put what is the problem? And you and Ryan Pace both look through that mirror. Bam. That's the problem. So this has been said by legendary Bears players. You got Dan Orlovsky. Dan Orlovsky was tweeting like he was a Bears fan today. Just pissed off. And everybody can see that this nigga is a fucking moron. I've seen a lot of bad coaches in my time as a Bears fan. Like I really started watching the Bears when Dick Jerome was the head coach. Every coach the Bears have had has been bad outside of Lovie Smith. Let's keep it a buck. They've all been bad. Jerome was bad. Wanstead was bad. Trestman was bad. Fox was bad. They've all been bad. But this nigga Matt Nagy is the worst of them all. I've never seen offense look this fucking bad before. Like, we've seen a lot of offensive showings, but I can't think of one worse than this. We legitimately did not get past the 50-yard line more than once. And then one time you get down there, you decide to punt on a 4th-and-2, but you're going for it on 4th-and-10 when the game's over. It doesn't make any fucking sense. And it was another point that Olin Krutz made that just blew my fucking mind. Everybody's like, Bill Lazor should call the plays, which he probably should. But look at the coaching staff that this nigga Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have assembled. All these niggas have been out the league. The Flippo was fired by the fucking Jaguars last year. Castillo was out the league. All these niggas have been fired. And you got all these niggas on one fucking coaching staff trying to mold a fucking quarterback. It's insanity. It doesn't make any fucking sense. And I'm beyond fucking tired of watching this shit every goddamn week. It doesn't even fucking matter who's a quarterback anymore. It doesn't matter if they bench Justin Fields this week and they bring Andy Dalton back because they feel he's healthy. It doesn't matter. It's the same goddamn shit. And I'm fucking fed up, man. I'm just tired of watching this shit. And at this point, I don't know what else to say because we come up here on this goddamn podcast every motherfucking Sunday and say the same goddamn shit. This is the 7th season, and we've been saying this shit every fucking week. It don't matter who the quarterback is. So we can sit up here and talk about Ted Phillips this, Ted. All these niggas got to go. All of them. It's not just Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy's got to go. Ryan Pace has got to go. Ted Phillips has got to go. This feels like last year. Right before All-Star break in 2020 with the Bulls. Autumn, when you had Jim Boylan, Gar Foreman, and John Paxson. All three of them niggas had to go. Michael Reinsdorf woke up one day and was like, we can't do this shit no more. We got a clean house. And that's what he did. He brought guys in here who knew what the fuck he was doing. Did you know that Billy Donovan was the first ever in the history of the Bulls, the first ever accomplished coach to be hired by that franchise? Phil Jackson was a fucking assistant when he got hired. He just became the greatest. He didn't have a resume when he got hired. That was the genius of Jerry Cross. So it's the same shit here. Now, is George McCaskey going to have a come to Jesus moment and decide, I can't take this shit no more? All three of these niggas got to go. Because if just one goes, it's going to be the same shit. If you decide to get rid of Matt Nagy mid-season or after the season, doesn't fucking matter if Ryan Pace is still here. Because now Ryan Pace is on coach number three. He's on coach number three. So it's like, what the fuck? You shouldn't get three chances. I've never seen a general manager. Niggas who've won Super Bowls have been on teams less. Run teams less than Ryan Pace. It makes no fucking sense. I'm tired of hearing about the little hidden gems he finds. It's annoying. And this team is in cap hell. Usually if you're a team that's in cap hell, you're a good team, right? Because you spend all that money in the right places and you got high paying, high producing guys. This team is in cap hell with no playmakers. And you can go from the level to the level of all these shits. The defense I felt was really good today. The Browns should have put up 45 fucking points. And this game was even more proof. I don't believe in Baker Mayfield, but we'll get into that on 2-minute drill. This defense, that offense should have put up way more than they did. So Jalen Johnson, stud. The fact that Odell didn't fuck him up is amazing. You know what I'm saying? So you've got Khalil Mack finally looks like Khalil Mack again.
Odell's biggest catch was a pass interference. So
yeah, exactly. Robert Quinn looks like the nigga we signed to fucking begin with. So the defense looks good. But then it goes back to the problem when you got Kendall Vildor out there getting fucked up, Duke Shelley getting out there getting fucked up. When you decide to let Kyle Fuller walk to keep the $7 million to fucking Jimmy Graham, and Jimmy Graham's not even fucking playing. He played 6 snaps today. You could have gave that money to fucking Kyle Fuller. It's shit like that that I'm talking about. And so we can sit up here and talk about how good the D-line is. It's cool. It's good. But these niggas are getting older. You're not contenders. By the time that you get the offense right, you got to rebuild the defense now. And that goes back to Ryan fucking Pace, which goes back to Ted Phillips, because he's not a fucking football guy. You got to get football guys in. And I'm sick and tired of sitting on my couch every Sunday watching bum-ass teams across the league who still have better offenses than us. And it's tiring, man. It's like, when is it going to fucking stop? You know, it's just like, and if you, this week we play Detroit, and it's like, I wouldn't be shocked if Detroit beat us. Detroit has been in all 3 of these games this week. All 3 of these games. And I could see us losing this week. And it's just like, man, I don't know where to go from here. I feel like I am officially broken as a Bears fan. Where do you go? You finally got your young franchise quarterback. You still not doing anything. I'm legitimately scared that they're going to Vince Young his ass. That is my legitimate fear, and I've been thinking about that shit all fucking day. Is it going to happen? You know what I'm saying? When is this ownership group going to get in? We hear all the time, but Jane McCaskey loves the Bears. She's tired of these losses. She comes to every fucking game. Why are we not doing anything about it? Why are we not doing anything about it? Niggas got to go, and that's why I'm mad with it.
The biggest issue is, it's funny you pointed out that about Billy Donovan being the first accomplished coach to be hired by the Bears. That's the biggest problem in Chicago sports, period. Yeah. Chicagoans hire from within.
Yep.
You hire from within.
Even look at Tony La Russa. Yeah, it worked out. But you know why they hired him? Because he's Jerry Reinsdorf boy. Instead of getting an accomplished younger coach and fucking AJ Hinch. And by the way, have you seen the Detroit Tigers this week? Yeah. They're pretty fucking good for a team with a terrible roster. They pushing 80 wins for a team with a terrible fucking roster. Imagine what AJ Hinch would have did with this load of team. It's like, you're right. These niggas hired from within.
Chicago sports just hires from within. Why do you hire from within where it's easier? You don't shell out money. You don't have to go through an actual hiring spree. You just hire from within. Ted Phillips' replacement is already a hire from within. He's already in line. I told you all that at the beginning of training camp. I was noted that at the beginning of training camp by my sources within the Bears. I even saw what the person looks like. He's a hire from within. He's someone that came from assistant and then will be turned into eventually the general manager. Sean Desai is a hire from within. Sean Desai was a PhD student at Temple and then was a Temple coach, or he was at Harvard. I can't remember which one. Then he was hired as an assistant, and then he worked his way up to defensive coordinator. The Bears, the White Sox, the Bulls, the Cubs, the only thing they understand, or at least the Cubs understood now, but all they knew was hire from within. Hire from within.
But see, that's a good point, too, because fucking Madden was not a hire from within hire. But once they got tired of Madden, what'd they do? Let's go get the nigga who's never managed before, but he was the catcher when we won the World Series.
Hiring from within is fine if the person produces a prospect of worth. Like, okay, I really like what he's doing. He really resonates. His understanding, his play calling, his play suggestion, those really resonate with a great defense. You go and hire Matt Nagy, who called, what, 2 games in the playoffs?
He called 2 games all season. One of them was the playoffs. Now, look, that game, Chiefs versus the Titans, the Chiefs blew a double-digit lead in that second quarter, in that second half. Go back and watch that game. Look at that entire game. That is every Chicago Bears game since this nigga's been head coach. And niggas tried – I remember when he got hired. I remember, like, it was yesterday when he got hired. There was some NFL pundits out there who said he didn't really call plays in Kansas City. Andy Reid let him call for like a couple games to end the season. I think it was like the last 6 games and that game in playoff. And by the way, I hope Andy Reid gets better. He left that game in the ambulance today. He had an illness. They don't really know what it is yet. So prayers up to Andy Reid. I hope he's all good.
Yeah.
So that right there shows you the psyche of this nigga, Ryan Pace. Because remember, Actually, Matt Nagy was asked about that game in his introductory press conference. And since Nagy's Andy Reid's boy, he tried to cover it up. Was like, no, I call plays. That's bullshit. It was after Nagy said he called the plays. So this shit has been going on forever, man.
Here's the hard truth that you have to realize. The Bears fans have to realize you're not tired of it.
What you mean?
You're not tired of the Bears losing.
I am tired of the Bears losing.
You're not tired of the Bears losing. You were tired of the Bulls losing. You were legitimately tired of the Bulls losing.
Yeah, I stopped watching them niggas.
Exactly. If you're tired of the Bears losing, stop watching. And this is not, oh, hold on, hear me. This is not one, oh, get off the bandwagon, or, well, you know, roll with us to get rolled over type shit. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, if you are tired of the Bears, truly, do not give them your time and your energy. Go watch something else. Go watch Red Zone. You can watch the Bears lose on Red Zone in increments of 5 seconds instead of giving a full 60-minute in-game minutes of your time.
You have to come back for that.
Shut your mouth.
I've come back for that.
No, I'm still talking. You can waste your time in way better amounts. You can have a TV or a monitor on one screen, and you can play Madden whenever the Bears are on Red Zone. You can do your time better than that. Let me suffer. Let those other journalists like me suffer. Let us cover the game for you. Because in the day, the more I cover the Bears, the more apathetic I get. The more I understand the old veteran reporters like Dan Wiederer, like Brad Biggs, they don't get frustrated anymore. Dan Wiederer, because he's had other experience with other teams. Brad Biggs, what's the point? Mark Potash, what's the point? You've been covering them for forever. There's no reason to get mad. You understand what's going on. And so why go through that and get yourself upset? I'm becoming very apathetic. After they lost, I was like, it is what it is. It sucks.
That's my rebuttal for that. One, I did do that in 2016. 2016, after the second game, I stopped watching. I didn't watch a full game the rest of that fucking season. I did them niggas red zone duty. So I can do that. There's two reasons why I'm not. Justin Fields is still playing. So I'm at least still watch Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Number two, even as bad as the Bulls were, I still watch like 30 games each season. It's harder. When it's 82 games, it's easy to block niggas out. Mm-hmm. When it's only once a week, it's a different thing.
Yeah.
That's my comeback for that.
And in terms of Vince Young, and his development is into a player. Jeff Fisher obviously was a terrible coach and should be charged for war crimes for what he's did. That being said, Vince Young never had what it took to be a professional.
He was rookie of the year.
He was rookie of the year. That's it. His play never elevated past that. His never was going to elevate it past that. And what happens, and that's the thing with rookies of the year, that's the thing with first-year players. It's like with Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase was great. What happens next year when they understand who he is? He has to adapt his game. The best players get smarter mentally to match their physical ability. That's what happens with every single player. So I never thought Vince Young had what it took to be.
So you don't have any fear that the Bears are going to ruin Justin Fields?
No, if they would, he would have, Matt Nagy would have to be here 3 more years for me to be afraid of that. I don't think Matt Nagy is coming back after this year, let alone halfway in the season. So no, I'm not afraid of that. That being on top of that, Justin Fields know what it's like to be sabotaged. What do you think happened to Georgia?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What do you think happened to Georgia? You know, sure, it's hard. It's hard to come into a Georgia situation where Jake Fromm is a winning quarterback. He's putting up like 30 touchdowns, 5 interceptions a year. But at the same time, Jake Fromm never threw for 3,000 yards. And when Justin Fields got in there were situations where all they want to do was make him run. It was never situations to use his arm. It was a sabotage, guys. They never gave him the opportunity to compete for the job. And Justin said that himself in his own documentary. He knows what it's like. You know, Justin talked about not losing. Yeah, he's not lost a lot. Not lost at all. I think he lost two bowl games and two regular seasons at Georgia, but he wasn't a starter. So take that away. He lost two times as an Ohio State player to Clemson, first time, and then to Bama. I want to say it was another regular season loss.
And well, I have a question for you then.
And hold on, I'm still talking. And then with high school, you know, he was, when you're still a high school player, you rarely lose. That being said, Justin knows what it's like to go through hard times. So I'm not expecting someone of his character to be ruined. And the funny thing, that was my first question to him. I was like, games like these ruin young quarterbacks. He's like, And that's the way you have to look at it. You know, it wasn't we just got to get better. It was like, what am I going to do? You guys got to move forward. And then when I, took my binoculars on, saw him on the sideline, I saw the frustration. And if you were at the game, you saw what I saw. I had my binoculars on and I was watching him, Marquise Goodwin and Justin Fields, both sitting on the bench, shaking their heads, you know, saying just like, I couldn't imagine what they were saying, but they were shaking their heads in disgust, dapped each other up at the end of it. Then Justin was talking to Nick Foles and Andy Dalton in the look of just disgust. And I had tweeted something out several times after he came from the bench for those first few drives. No coach talked to him. Andy Dalton, Matt Nagy was nowhere to be found. That's not what you do with a rookie quarterback. You don't do that with any quarterback.
You don't do it any quarterback.
With any quarterback. When Tom Brady
throws a pick, Bruce Arians talking to this nigga.
Bruce Arians is the first one to talk to that. You know why Bruce Arians respects Tom Brady? Tom Brady respects Bruce Arians. So they say, well, what's going wrong? If Tom Brady said, oh, that was just on me, I understand. All right, we'll get him next time. It could be a conversation as simple as that. Or it can be, yeah, what happened? You're like, man, I thought I had him, but I'm thinking this, that, the third. It's no. You know who talked to him the most? Nick Foles. Nick Foles sat a chair right in front of Justin Fields and was motioning with his hand with routes. This is how this route goes. And Justin Fields was responding with a route here. The same way Justin Fields responded to Marquise Goodwin. He is a highly intelligent man. He knows how the game works. He knows what the defense gives him. But during the majority of this game, he had thrown six passes the majority of this game. Six passes. Those other 14 attempts came in the fourth quarter when it didn't matter. His real stats were 3 for 6. 3 for 6. And at one point in time, he was 3 for 3. 3 for 3 because he was getting sacked or he had to run away. That's just not how you – it's just infuriating. It's infuriating. That being said, I agree, Scott. I don't think this O-line is as bad as that game was. If you give up 10 sacks, the problem begins to be with the coaches. Yeah. Because the problem is, why isn't the pocket moving? Why are we switching up? Where's the screen game? But then at the same time, you're going to run a screen with Jermaine Ifedi on one side and then Jason Peters on the next side? Jason Peters couldn't block a cornerback on a screen. And then what most infuriated me, I want to say it's Jason Leisure, Adam Hogue asking about changes to the offensive line. Man, now you said, no, there are no changes coming.
It's crazy.
You as a coach should never say there's no changes coming when something abysmal is happening. If you're not doing your job, if me and Scott in our respective careers were to not do our jobs, what would happen?
Fire.
We get fired and you do not get as much time. You don't get 3 years to work it out. No, you get 3 warnings. That's about it. And then you're gone. The same thing should happen with coaches. I think Matt Nagy has one more loss before he's fired.
Now, okay, so I have a couple questions for you. Yeah. I have a couple. One, as somebody who follows Justin Fields because you're a diehard Ohio State fan, mm-hmm. so you know how Justin is through ups and downs more than I do. Mm-hmm. I watched a couple Ohio State games last year, and I watched the bowl game where he threw 6 touchdowns, and I fell in love after that game.
Yeah,
like I had zero. Like, I remember I posted the video of one of those touchdowns, one of the deep balls.
The Olave touchdown.
Yeah, I posted it on my IG story.
Fields, it's Olave. He got him.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, I posted on my IG story.
That is the second greatest play in my history of watching the Buckeyes, next to Ezekiel Elliott's 70-yard run against Bama, where he literally cuts up the gut and burns them red jerseys on, looking at the scoreboard. We thrashed Oregon, so, you know, there's no specific play that came out to me when we won a national championship. But those two plays, the Ezekiel Elliott touchdown run that really said, we finna beat Bama. And then Justin Fields Justin read it perfectly. First read. You know, his read was Olave. Olave was the entire read. So what'd he do? Shake to the left, look towards your flat routes, up seam, Olave has him beat, and put a dime. They put a dime. You know that play where he improvised and he launched it? And somebody said, oh, man, he overthrew Allen Robinson. That wasn't Allen Robinson. That was a Darnell Mooney. Yeah. But what did Darnell Mooney not do? Go toward the ball.
Yeah.
Marquise Goodwin. Justin Fields goes to the sideline. Marquise Goodwin waited for the ball to come to him. Whenever your quarterback is rotating, you move toward the ball. Toward.
Yeah, the receivers weren't open, bro. Like besides what I was saying. So I posted that clip on my IG story in January. And of course, I thought there was no chance in hell the Bears were getting fucking Justin Fields. I thought Justin Fields at the worst was going top five. I was like, it's not a shot in hell we're getting that nigga. 4 months later, he's my quarterback. So my question to you, am I just having irrational Bears fear that he's going to get ruined? And how does Justin
respond to a verb. What do you think Justin Fields is thinking right now? Because he's sitting in his house in a suburb of Chicago, because we found out he did buy a house, which is funny because Mark Sanchez told Mitch to buy an apartment. Maybe Mark Sanchez knew that Mitch wasn't going to be there that long. But Justin has a house in Chicago. So what do you think Justin is thinking in his house right now about Matt Nagy, about this team? Because there's nobody in the entire Bears franchise more important than Justin Fields. And he had, even though he's a rookie, I feel like he has some say-so in this. If he decides to go to the front office with this nigga can't call plays. What do you think he's thinking about Nagy in this situation right now? From what
he was coached by legendary coaches his entire career.
Legendary?
Legendary coach.
Ryan Day is legendary to you?
Yeah, we'll forget Ryan Day.
Okay.
We'll talk about high school Kirby Smart. We'll talk about those two.
Okay.
So he was coached by good coaches his entire career. Ryan Day is a good coach. Ryan Day gets a national championship, he'll enter into a legendary conversation. I think Ryan Day is a good coach who just doesn't know how to build a defense, but that's beside the point. I have my problems with the Buckeyes. CJ Stroud never get in the game again. You're terrible. Kyle McCord did a much better job. Quinn Ewers, I'm looking forward to when you get to play. Shout out Kyle McCord. CJ Stroud, you stink. So he was coached by two legendary coaches, one very good up and coming young college coach, and a shit coach. But what he had in the three coaches before him was consistency. Knowing that these coaches have my back. Now, of course, as we said with Georgia, have my back. Knowing that these coaches knew what they needed to do. Knew what they needed to do in order to win. That's exactly what he had. Kirby Smart has is a defensive coordinator, I want to say 3 or 4 national championships. SEC titles, division SEC titles. I forgot the name of Justin Fields' high school coach. I can't remember. I was watching his high school. Matt Dickman. Matt Dickman is Justin Fields' high school coach at Kennesaw, Georgia. Kennesaw Harrison, Georgia. Matt Dickman was his high school coach, which I think he just resigned or stepped down. But he was coached. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And he won their first state title in 2019. So he will go down literally as their best coach. But anyway, knowing that has happened and knowing he's been with coaches so I take back the legendary. That was a bit too much. He's been coached by good coaches who have rebuilt rosters, who have rebuilt teams, who have started from like a position with Ryan Day. Urban Meyer leaves, the program is what's going to happen. What are we going to do now? He brings them right back into prosperity, right back in his performing offensively well as his predecessor. So he was with coaches who know how to adapt. And he does not have that in Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. So sure, he's going through a situation where it's tough, but he's been through a situation where it's tough his entire life. So, no, I'm not. I just think Vince Young was a great rookie, and he represented the starting of an era where black quarterbacks were becoming more prominent. I think he was a foundation of the current state of black quarterbacks in the league, and I thank him for that. He was never going to be, in my opinion, the cream of the crop. I think he could have been a serviceable backup for quite some time. I believe that wholeheartedly, because there are players who have stood on the National Football League as backups for almost as long as he could have been right now. Because Vince Young got drafted when? In 2005?
Yeah, something like that.
2005? And Vince Young was out of the league by 2014?
Yeah, that long?
He was a practice squad member in 2012, 13, and 14. He officially was done in 2011. Yeah. He could have been a serviceable backup longer than that. But anyway, I just don't think he ever had what it took to be that guy. So I don't think you can look at that as a case of where Jeff Fisher ruined him. Jeff Fisher's a shit coach, but Vince Young was not that guy anyway. I hope in my heart Justin Fields responds to this and becomes, you know, and keeps his head down and keep grinding away. Do I know? Of course not. And I won't go have that.
That's the irritating part. We don't even know if this nigga gonna start this week.
You don't know if you're gonna die in the next 5 minutes. What the like, you know what I'm saying? Life is full of uncertainty. You have no control of anything they say. And so with that being said, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna be optimistic, because what's the point? Everybody has to use faith in certain things in life. Even if you're an atheist or an agnostic, non-theist, you're gonna have to use faith. And faith is not just something religious, it's that trusting in what you can't currently see. Right now, you can't currently see a path ahead where Justin Fields is succeeding. But the fan in me is saying, I'm going to have hope that Justin Fields is going to persevere through it. Why? Well, I just have faith in him. I have faith in Justin Fields. Even as I cover the team in objective manner, I have faith in him. I do. My hope is that Ryan Pace is so afraid to lose his job, he thinks correctly. And then once he replaces him, the end of the season, he gets fired anyway. Then after he gets fired, Ted Phillips gets fired. And George McCaskey, because McCaskey's ain't going nowhere. They're not sitting on the team.
They're not going to sit
there. If you look at the Bears media book, there are thousands of McCaskeys in there. They are littered throughout this team. They're going nowhere. But I hope George McCaskey realizes I'm disappointing Papa Bear Hallis. Because bear in mind, George Hallis is looking down from heaven and saying, this is a shit franchise. Could he coach them? Hell no. But he at least knows what success is. So that's my take. This is one of the most angriest I've ever been. I don't say angriest. One of the most impassioned I've ever been for a Saving After Hallis episode. You know, at least during the Trestman era, I saw the ball move. It just, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and by the way, this is a side note, because, you know, we haven't got off topic because it's on this podcast yet. You know how many niggas was at that fucking Rams Buccaneers game today? I mean, got the city was out, nigga. LeBron was there, Melo was there, AD was there, Draymond was there, Jason Sudeikis was there, Dr. Dre came out the house, nigga. Dr. Dre, Kawhi was there, Paul George was there, motherfucking Magic was there, Mike Tyson was there, Sugar Ray Leonard was there. Everybody from fucking LA was in that fucking game, man. It looked like it was a fucking Super Bowl crowd. But I feel like Rams game is finna be the new kicking spot. But anyway, to what you were saying, I'm not worried about Justin Fields. You know what I'm saying? Unlike the last person who played here, he's not a bitch ass nigga who's gonna want all the TVs in Hallis Hall be cut off. I'm not worried about Justin. I'm worried about the niggas around him. That's what I'm worried about. So yes, like McCaskey has to have a come to Jesus moment. That's what he got to do. He got to wake up one day like, I'm tired of this shit. like I'm tired of this shit. Like, niggas got to go. That's they got to go. That's why I'm going to name this up pod. They got to go. So it's like, so going into this week, I feel like I've been saying the same shit for 9 hours, really for more than 9 hours, for weeks. But you're going to be at Hallis Hall this morning. What are you expecting? Not just the Nagy's press conference. What do you think the overall feeling is going to be this week? Because you got a desperate Detroit Lions team coming in here this week. Detroit should have been on. To be real, we should have been 0-2 against some niggas last year. And we had a comeback victory against them week one last year, at the start of the season. And then we blew, I think, a double-digit lead against them at the crib at the end of last year, and they came back and won. This is a desperate team. They're trying not to go 0-4. You know what I'm saying? So what do you think is going to be the feeling this? And, like, where do the Bears go from here? Like, how much longer is the leash for Nagy? Like, we can worry about Pace and Ted Phillips later, because I do think if those two do go, that's definitely not going to be to the end of the season. How much longer are we going to have to watch this shit from Matt Nagy? Or to at least Matt Nagy says, okay, I'm going to get a reins to Bill Lazor for real this time. Like, when is that going to happen?
I hope I go into Hallis Hall and I look at the reporters there, the Pat Finley, the Jason Leisure. They say, oh, Ryan Pace has a special press conference coming up and Matt Nagy's keys are revoked. That's what I hope.
Instead,
what I'm going to get is, I looked at the film, you know, the passion was there, our guys fought. We just got to grow back to the drawing board. We just got to make, you know, we got to convert those third downs. We got to make them shorter. We got to make sure we get our running game. You know, I got to do a better job getting these guys prepared. That's what you're going to hear. That's what you're going to hear tomorrow. I'm not expecting anything else. The coordinators are at 12:30, Nagy's at 10. I'm not staying for the coordinators. I don't really have any questions to ask Sean Desai. You did a good job. Congrats. I have nothing to ask of the special teams coordinator. I like Khalil Herbert as a returner. Shocking. Pat O'Donnell was putting absolute bombs in the atmosphere. I'm excited with that. Cairo Santos is a legitimate kicker, one of the best in the game, with a consecutive streak dating back to last year. I don't have anything to ask you. What am I asking you? Hey, Kairos is kicking great. How do you like it? Bill Lazor, you're not calling plays. What's the point of me asking you anything? So I'm there to hear Matt Nagy make excuses, then I'm going back home, and I'm going to work on some homework. So what am I expecting? Absolutely nothing. A bunch of garbage. I can say, yep, bunch of garbage, and I can go home. But there's the 0.00000001% that something interesting happens, that I hear an interesting quote. You might just hear Andy Dalton's going to be back starting starting for the other team.
And how does that just, oh my God, like that, it angers me, but at the same time, if it happened, it's like, okay, whatever. It's like, yeah, right. That's what I'm kind of with. Like, if Andy is enough,
he's not, Justin Fields is not sensitive enough where it's going to hurt his spirit. He's not going to let that get him down. He knows what's going on. But
yeah, it's like, okay,
unlike with Georgia, there's no transfer pool, nigga. You got to deal with it.
It's like, okay, let Andy go out there and get killed. Like, it's ridiculous.
I don't want any of those quarterbacks, Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, Justin Fields, to have to go out and get killed like that. Because if this was Andy Dalton starting, he's going to have, there would have been 11 or 12 sacks.
Oh, for sure.
So,
but I also feel like the game plan would have been different if Andy Dalton started. Now, Nagy would actually try. I think it was sabotage. Now, here's the next six games for the Bears. Of course, we got the Lions. The Lions are coming to Soldier Field. They're trying not to go 0-4. They lost because the Ravens hit a 66-yard field goal. Ridiculous.
It was 63.
It's a 66-yard field goal.
It was 63.
You sure about that?
63.
Let's go to the Googles. Justin Tucker. Justin Tucker field goal.
66.
It was 66. I told you 66. 66-yard.
Lord have mercy. They got to test him.
66-yard field goal. So you got a team in Detroit.
66, what the?
You got a team in Detroit who's coming up in their dash, but then you got to go to Oakland the week after. Not Oakland, but Las Vegas the week after. The Raiders are 3-0.
I will be in Las Vegas, so that's going to be interesting.
You're actually going?
Yeah, I want to see the stadium.
Okay. We'll talk about that off here. Then we play the Packers. We all know how that's going to fucking go.
Bud stumped.
We already know how that's going to go. Then you got to go to Tampa to face the world champions. Right.
Mud stumped.
Then we come home, the game that I will be at, and they play the Niners.
Curve stumped.
Yes. Then on Monday Night Football, even though this team has not been playing well, they're going to Pittsburgh to face J.J. Watt and them niggas.
Curve stumped.
Curve stumped. Then you got a bye week.
Curve stumped by the bye week.
Then you come home, and you play the Baltimore Ravens. You got Lamar Jackson, who was MVP just 2 years ago.
Curve stumped.
Then you have Detroit in Detroit. So if we lose Detroit at home, we definitely lose them niggas on the road.
Bears might not win another game with Matt Nagy.
And then we got to face Man at the crib, Arizona Cardinals.
Getting murdered.
Then we got to go back to Green Bay. You know getting what that happens. Then we play the Vikings, whose offense has looked pretty good.
Getting murdered.
Then you got to go to Seattle.
Getting destroyed.
Then you go home, you play the Giants, probably win that game.
Probably win.
And then you end the season in Minnesota.
You're going to get
in the league. I see maybe two wins left.
I see one win left.
I see maybe two wins left. You can sell me on them winning this week against Detroit. You can sell me on them beating the Giants.
I look forward to a 3-14 season when everything gets burned down and Bears fans react by not letting their time be wasted. Whatever.
I think that's all we got today, man. I'm kind of
deflated.
I'm empty, bro. I'm empty. These niggas have defeated me.
I'm deflated. I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. Wake up, give you all coverage. Well, when you hear this, you already have heard the coverage. I may upload the video and send it to Scott while I'm at Hallis Hall. I'm deflated. I have nothing. Cleveland, thank you for welcoming to your shit city. The pizza was good. Cleveland has very good pizza.
And the White Sox kicked y'all ass 3 out of 5 this week.
It was funny. I was at this place called Marvel's Barbecue. Oh, beautiful beef brisket. And I knew the White Sox were losing because I kept hearing fireworks. I'm like, well, they're obviously getting homered on right now.
They didn't lose today.
No, they did not. So, yeah. I walked past a group of Cleveland Guardians fans. And they were outside of a Holiday Inn. and they were talking to each other, like, hey, are we eliminated from the postseason yet? And I walked past, like, basically. And they said, oh, thank you. No problem. You guys suck. And I kept walking. and they laughed. I had my Southside hoodie on. A lot of White Sox fans were in Cleveland as well. Yeah. I don't know if they just happened to come for the Sox game.
No, they came for the division clinching and the Bears game.
And so they're like, are we eliminated? I'm like, basically, you guys stink. And I kept walking. Are they officially eliminated?
Yeah, they're eliminated.
So
they got eliminated when we won a division.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, basically, you guys stink. And I kept walking. And the dude was like, thanks, man. And I was cracking up laughing in my head. But good barbecue. Good pizza. Very clean downtown. I will also give them that. So, no, Cleveland's not a shit city. Will I vacation there? No. I'm not vacationing anywhere in the Midwest. I'm not sure the Ohio is considered the Midwest. I'm vacationing nowhere Midwest, East Coast.
Now, Ohio is definitely the Midwest.
I'm vacationing nowhere in the Midwest.
Why? I said Chicago deserves to be on the East Coast. We shouldn't
Chicago
be
deserves to be on the East Coast. It is.
We shouldn't be with these swaggerless ass cities.
Like I said, I'm vacationing nowhere in the Midwest because everywhere in the Midwest besides Chicago is
trash. Trashed.
But that being said, Cleveland has a very clean downtown. So I don't know what it has to do anything, but I was like, there's no trash out here. This is impressive. Mabel's Barbecue or Marbles. Thank you all. Citizen Pie, the person who ran that was fantastic pizza. You were very, very kind to us. Pizza 216126, fantastic. So 10 out of 10, would not do it again. I'm not looking forward to any Bears game. I'm looking forward to the privilege, but I'm not actually looking forward to the score. Anyway, this has been 79th and Hottest, episode 181. Me and Scott are just tired. But because we love you all, we're going to keep putting these out. We're not going to give up. I tell you, though, give up. Don't let them ruin your day. Don't let them ruin your night. Don't be like Scott. Be like me. Be frustrated, but go do something else. Go jerk off. Go put on X videos, go put on Pornhub, and go do your thing. You know what I'm saying? Post Nut Clarity will clear all of that up. And you'll be like, football's just a game. I'll be all right. And then you'll go to sleep happy. Do you feel bad in the morning? Another session. Let the session guide you to greener pastures. But don't let the Bears ruin your day.
Hey, man. When you hear this, Chicago Bulls media day is today.
First Energy Stadium is terrible. Soldier Field is better than that. And that is shocking.
What makes it bad, though?
First off, isn't the interesting thing also, Progressive Field, is that where?
Yeah, where the Guardians play.
The Guardians play? It's just wide open. Like, you literally walk to the front gates and I can see everything.
It's like where the Padres play.
I can sit a lawn chair right there and watch the whole game.
No, the Padres actually... They charge you to sit on the grass because the Petco Park is literally in the fucking park. Like, but you have to get past the metal detectors to sit on the grass, even if you don't have a game ticket.
That's hilarious. But with them, you don't even have to go to the metal detector. You can sit on the corner of the street and watch the whole game. It's very interesting. Looks very nice. We'd love to see it. Rocket Mortgage Arena, because it's not Quicken Loans anymore.
Yeah, it's still the queue, man.
It looks nice from the outside. But
they take the LeBron picture down outside.
I didn't see it. So I just saw Rocket Mortgage Fields House, and all the restaurants were in the alley. Very, very nice restaurants. Really liked that area. It's very, very nice. Like I said, nice downtown. So we stop shitting on Cleveland. So I think that's if you're ever in that area, you offer some good restaurant options, and it's clean, and the suburbs around it offer some good rates for hotels. Did not mind it at all. First Energy stinks. Not like Lily stinks. It's just, I feel like they made it in the 70s and just said, all right, we're done. And then just that was it. They never touched it up past them. At least the Bears did a little bit of redesigning. The Bears press box is 10 times nicer than that. We were sitting in folding chairs in the press box. Bro, where is my rolling chair with my armrest and I can lean back? I sound very elitist right now. But anyway, thank you all for listening. Set in the house, episode 181. When I put this out.
We'll be back with
preseason.
I'll bet somebody help Joe help out Nikola Vucevic. He tweeted, need a recommendation for best piece in Chicago. Please help out Vucci May.
The best piece in Chicago is in the suburbs. That's the hidden secret, nigga. It ain't in Chicago. I know that sounds all sacrilegious. The best piece is Chicagoland, and it's the south suburbs. Be prepared to be shocked. Okay, also, you can go to Grisano's on like 87th and Central.
Nigga, don't tell me. Tweet him.
You can go on Grisano's like 87th and Central. And for $30, you're walking out of there with a store. So cheap pizza, homemade pizza puffs. You get a baked or fried. Tell them Flo sent you. They have no idea who I am. But if they saw my face, they know I frequent there. Thank you all for listening. We will catch you all with the preview of
the Lions game.
Whoever the hell is going to stump us next week. We're out.